On the surface, we seem to be having competing scriptures this day. We heard where Jennifer shared this eloquent writing from the author of Hebrews, where he speaks of these forebears in our faith who are many ambassadors and guides and champions of that word faith. What does it mean to be faithful? He gives us an example of their actions, their attitudes, their dependence and trust upon God, and says faith is essential to our relationship to God and in our ability to live out our witness as children of God, as brothers and sisters of Christ to a world in need of His love. It begins with faith. But then we hear the writer of Isaiah, written hundreds of years prior to the prior to the writer of Hebrews, and he challenges us to dig a little deeper, to get beyond simply faith, trusting in God, and to do something with our faith. As James, the brother of Jesus, also speaks of in the New Testament, and has been paraphrased sometimes by saying this, church: faith without faithfulness is no faith at all. Let me say that again. James would say this in chapter 1, the very first chapter, Mike: faith without faithfulness is no faith at all. Well, that seems to be the root in much of what Isaiah is preaching to the church folk as he prophesies or speaks for God here. He said, you know, you're coming to church. You're coming to worship. You're giving your sacrifices, but you're really not putting any teeth or action to your faith. So some scholars, some theologians, if we use that word, have even debated, is Isaiah saying in this book, is he saying, look, forget about worship. It's not central to our faith anymore. It's time to transition and simply do stuff with our faith, to live out justice, to care for the poor, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to evangelize and work for the faith. Worship is no longer central. That was a debate among some. But as the church matured and the Holy Spirit continued to speak, and as we even see the New Testament church today, and certainly our Reformed tradition, is that we still proclaim that worship, what we're doing right now, is indeed central to our faith and the relationship we have with God. So what gives? What is the argument that Isaiah says in this passage today? What is God's beef or concern with the type of worship that was going on that Isaiah was addressing? Well, here's the problem, it seems. They were coming, and they were giving of their tithes, of their sacrifices of rams and goats and whatever they had, for their own good instead of for God's glory. You see, they thought, look what I'm doing for God. They would come and present these offerings, these gifts, and help sustain the ministry of the priest in those hundreds of years before Christ came. So many of them gave with saying, look what we're doing for God, instead of what God's doing for us. You see the difference? When we come with that attitude that God needs us, instead of how much we need God, we've gotten our faith backwards. We've lost the understanding of what it truly means to worship. When we come into the worship setting, we come first and foremost to say, thank you, God, for what you've done for me in spite of myself. As Isaiah describes it, he said, our sin makes us red like crimson, but God's grace restores us white as snow. Wow. You see, that's a transformation we couldn't do on our own. I don't know if y'all have ever gotten a little spot on your shirt. I'm a big coffee drinker. Doc and I were talking about that this morning. I drink way too much coffee, and I'm prone to spill some on my shirt and get a stain, and Blue Dawn is the magic. Are y'all familiar with how Dawn can take a stain out? I'm telling you now, it can just about get any stain out. It is faithful, and it'll restore. But friends, our sinfulness, our brokenness, our separation from God can only be conquered through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He came to this earth to embody the stains of our imperfection that separate us from God and to restore us white as snow and beautiful as the wool of a lamb. Friends, that's the gift that we proclaim in this holy setting and in our sacred space, that we come with our sacrifices, as Isaiah spoke to the church in those many years ago. We come with our sacrifices not to get something from God or to get God to love us, but because God does love us. We come in gratitude. We come putting faithfulness to our faith. You see, it's not that our actions save us, right? In our tradition, we believe that we are saved by grace. It's nothing we do that can earn God's favor, earn our salvation from Jesus Christ. But no, we act in faithfulness because we are saved, not to get God's salvation. See, that's what it means to have faithfulness in our faith, to do what you embody here, Ripley Presbyterian Church. I've got to say it again. I know some of you have heard it preached here before, but several years ago, I got to remind us of our history. We were at a position, our church was trying to revitalize, to get going again in ways that we could serve this community. And we wanted to give more of ourselves. I remember Price us sitting in those session meetings, and we said, do we need to budget more to mission giving, mission outreach, Marianne? And I believe it was Price that said, you know, I don't even think we have to budget it. I believe if we put the need out there before our people, they're going to respond. I'll get emotional saying this. So we began, Bobby, something that was very familiar to our presbytery, and other churches are modeling it now, something we call a monthly mission goal. And through that goal, we set a desire to raise $500 to $1,000 each month to go and help others. We've never not met that goal. It's you saying, what can I do? What can we do beyond ourselves to serve others, to embody what Isaiah is saying here? It's not about simply coming to worship for me, but this is the place where we say, God, thank you what you've done. What can I do to enhance your kingdom in the world around me? See, we're giving not to get God to love us, but because God does love us. See, if we only come, as Isaiah said in this passage today, if they were only coming bringing their sacrifices, bringing their goods to impress others, or to say, what would the church be without me? We've misunderstood our dependence upon God in our faith. No, we come not with expectation. We give not with expectation or wanting to get anything further from God, but that we can share with the world around us what God has done for us. Now, some of you may have heard that I've been accused of looking like an older, fluffier version of the Lincoln Lawyer on television. Have any of y'all heard that? He's a little handsomer and a little younger and speaks with a little bit more of a Cuban accent. But he does look my little brother in some ways. And on one episode of the Lincoln Lawyer, it wasn't going so well for Elliot, and he was not in a good mood. The trial looked like it wasn't going to end out with the verdict that he had hoped for. And he got real grumpy. As we all are prone to do when things aren't going our way, right? When we're tired, when we're not feeling well. That is us, right? But as things began to change and things looked more hopeful, he became very thankful. And not only was he thankful, but guess what? He started smiling more and he was happier. Now, in that illustration from real life, as real life as a TV series can be, I guess, there are some reminders to us about our relationship with God, too. Friends, if we focus only on what's wrong in our family, in our life, in our community, in our faith, we're going to be distraught and overwhelmed with grief, heartache. But if we're conscious enough, even in the midst of challenges, to open our eyes, and when we see God prepare and perform transformation in our lives and in the lives of those around us, we, like Elliot in that series, become what? We become thankful. In other words, I don't know about y'all, but how can we be thankful, Vince, if we haven't gone through hard times? Nobody wants to go through the grunt, the challenges, the darknesses of life, right? The hardships that we face in our marriages, at work, the decisions we face as we're transitioning maybe from one career to another, the challenges that are upon us. Isn't it by going through the darkness that we're all the more thankful for the light? See, that's worship. It's coming to this place not only when everything's all right, Mike, but it's coming to this place to know that God's in it with us. And we say thank you when we see God working. And like our friend Elliot in the Lincoln Lawyer, you know what happens when we're thankful? We are more joy-filled. Friends, that's why worship. It's central to our life and faith. That's why what we do as Christian people begin and end in the sanctuary. Yes, Bible study is important. Sunday school is important. Community outreach is important. But it all begins by first considering what God has done for us with attitudes of gratitude. And from that gratitude comes our faithfulness. Then we go out. See, Jesus said it this way, right? Jesus said it this way when he was asked, what's the greatest of all commandments? He said, first, let's do this. Let's love the Lord with all of our heart, soul. That's what we do in worship, right? We come and we express our love for the Lord. He said, then you love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. See, that's what Isaiah's preaching to us today, too. Come and worship to love God. But then put faithfulness to your faith and love others. And then you know what the outcome will be? Then you will also be loving yourself. Let me say it this way. Some of you, it's been chronicled quite well, the faith of a local baseball player, college baseball player named Tim Elko, who in many ways practices his faith through his craft that he's been gifted by from God with a great ability of hit a baseball some over 400 feet on a regular basis. And he went through some adversity, some hardships throughout his collegiate career. And through every one of those adversities, he tried to focus on what is it that I can learn from this? What can I learn to grow in my dependence upon God to let my light shine even where there's darkness? And he spoke of this, and many of us who've participated in athletics can relate to it. Or in our business careers, perhaps we can relate to it. He said, early in my career, things weren't going well. I wasn't getting the playing time that I wanted. I wasn't getting the hits that I wanted. And it was always me thinking about baseball, baseball, baseball. More playing time, more playing time, more playing time. Me, me, me was much of the focus. And he said, even during those challenging times, I got back to the core of my faith. And I was reminded through family members and my own prayer that it's not all about me. It's about the team. And not only was it not all about me, but I'm not defined simply as a baseball player. I'm defined first and foremost as a child of God, as a servant of Jesus Christ. He said, when I started getting my priorities right, then I started knowing more joy in my life regardless of the circumstances. And he said, you know what's craziest of all of that? Even as I focused less on baseball, I became a better baseball player. Wow. Only God can do things like that. The less we focus in on ourselves, and the more we strive to be faithful to serve those around us with God's love, then guess what? That too will end up blessing us than any selfish decisions we could have made. See, isn't that what the heart of sinfulness is? As Martin Luther, the great reformer in our church, would say, sin ultimately is being self-centered, caring only about me and mine. But you see, when we truly get out of it and we start trying to love God the Father and love the world around us, our brothers and sisters, that we give ourselves the true joy of our salvation. So may we go forth from this place this day and embody this call of Isaiah, this proclamation to have faith in God and be faithful to God's people by living out Christ's love now and forever. Amen.